Genesis chapter 6 is where we read our scripture lesson from, and you know I don't always use our scripture lesson as my text, but this morning I do want to use a couple of verses out of Genesis chapter 6 to talk to you about the journey towards God. We're just going to look at verses 5 through 10. We've already read them. I'm not going to read them again, but I will be pointing you to them. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. We have put an emphasis here in our congregation, you know this if you've been coming here for some time, about the process of transformation. That the mission, the purpose of the Hudson Wesleyan Church is to exist, we exist to glorify God through holiness, but we do that by transforming our community. That's what our mission statement says. We exist to transform our community by glorifying God through holiness. And so one of the operative words, of course, in that mission statement is transform. And so we have talked about a process of transformation. How do we go from being sinners to saints? How do we go from being pagans to righteous? How do we go from being of the world to being of Christ? And that is a process, and there are different experiences that happen in that process. Now, by my record, I have preached on this process at least three times. At least three times. It may even have been four. I try to hit it a couple times a year, not the same text, of course, not the same all the same points, but the same process or the same experience. How many people would like to volunteer this morning and list off the four experiences that we talk about in the process of transformation? Say, Pastor, you've preached on it only three times. I don't think I can remember it that quickly. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go through it again in the next couple of weeks. And at the end of our time together, if you can list off the four experiences that are part of the process of transformation, maybe there will be a, I feel like I'm in Vacation Bible School, you get an extra prize or something, I don't know. But today we're going to talk about the first experience in that process. Why is the process of transformation so important? Why is it such a big deal? Well, it's not just a big deal for us, of course, although we are in that process. It's also a big deal because it's a big deal for the people out there, the people that don't know Christ yet. Remember that everyone's in that process somewhere, and so some people are just right at the beginning. They haven't really experienced God at all, and He wants them to be in relationship with Him as much as He wants us to be in relationship with Him. And so we need to understand how He wants to work in their lives. It's also important because we need to recognize where we are. Where are you at with God? How close are you to Him? Is there more that He wants to do in your life? Is there some experience that He would have you go through? The other reason we keep repeating this, of course, is because repetition is the great teacher. If you want to remember something, you need to hear it over and over again. And I really believe that this is foundational truth to how we go from being sinners to saints through the power of Christ and the work that He did on the cross. So we're going to look today about some interesting words that we see here in these six verses of Genesis chapter 6. The words are, Noah walked with God. But Noah walked with God. All around him is evil, all around him is pagan, but Noah walked with God. Whatever else we may or may not know about this man Noah, and we know some things about him because of the story of Noah and the ark, we know a lot of things about him, but whatever else we may know, we know that he walked with God. Scripture is very clear about that. It's also, it's as clear about that as it was about his great-grandfather that we also read about, Enoch. Enoch, it says, also walked with God. These are the only two men in the Bible, after the Garden of Eden, where it specifically states that they walked with God. The only two men in the Bible. Now it says that Abraham was the friend of God. In Isaiah it says that. And it says that David was the man after God's own heart. It says that Moses saw the back of God. It says that Paul encountered God on the road to Damascus. It says the disciples literally sat with him and experienced life with him. But only Noah and Enoch are recorded as being men who walked with God. And so I want to talk this morning about how do we walk with God, or how do we get to walk with God? It is very important for us to understand, because in the process of transformation, the first thing we talk about, the first experience you must have in order to go from sinner to saint, is an experience of conversion, an experience of heart change, an experience of focus shift, where you quit looking in this direction towards the evil and you start looking in this direction towards what is good and what is right and what is pure. There is a conversion that happens where we go from living in sin to living under the blood of Christ and in His grace. There's a moment of change, and that is the first experience. It is conversion. I guess we could all say that we want to walk with God like Noah did. I hope that is your desire. You want to walk with God. But not everyone is walking with God. So how do we get from there to here? How do we get from where we are naturally to where we ought to be? Well, let's contrast very quickly the kind of person that Noah was with the wicked people that he lived with in his time. Notice that the men on the earth in that day were very, very wicked. Those scriptures right there in verses 5 and following tell you about that. They were very wicked. In fact, they were so wicked that the intention of their heart was always towards evil. Always towards evil. It wasn't even that they sometimes tried to do what was good. No, they always did or wanted to do what was evil. They were very, very wicked. In fact, they were so wicked that it made God sorry that He had ever made man. Have you ever worked on a project or tried to build something with your hands, and about halfway through, it's just not turning out right, and it looks so bad that you just wish you had never started? Now, this happens about every time I try to build anything. It gets crooked, and it doesn't look right, and you make mistakes. And I'm always glad to know that I have friends who know how to, and family members who know how to do that sort of stuff for two reasons. Either they can help me from the get-go, or when I get in a really bad spot, I can just call them and say, I've made a mess out of this. I don't know what I'm doing. But have you ever just gotten to a point where you're like, you know what, this isn't even worth the trouble? I don't know that God said it's not worth the trouble, but I think He sort of felt like that. This was His supreme creation. And He was sorry that He had even made them. They were so sinful. But Noah was righteous and blameless. Here is the difference. The difference between the evil of his day and of Noah. These words, righteous and blameless, particularly the word blameless, the King James Version says perfect. It doesn't mean that he was without error, but it means more that he was complete, that he was entire, that he was upright. In other words, that they could not lay a charge against him for doing something wrong. Not that he was perfect, he wasn't God, but that what he was and who he was really left a good example. He was upright, he was entire, he was complete. And so there's a huge discrepancy between the people of his time and Noah. Just like, isn't it true that there is a huge discrepancy between the world and the church? Between the unsaved and the saved, the unconverted, the converted, the unrighteous and the righteous. The pagan and the believer, there's a huge discrepancy. That's what Noah was living in. And yet he walked with God. But how does a person get from the sin, the squalor, the evil? How does a person get from there to walking with God? There's some intermediate area, I think. That's where we want to be, but we start over here, and so we have to start walking towards God before we get to walk with God. 6 years ago this summer, in June, I stood at the front of a church where Carrie and I were getting married. It's a Baptist church in Hillsdale. And some of you were there. And it was a pretty traditional wedding. I stood up front, and I was standing there, waiting. And in the back of the church, the doors opened, and there stood Carrie with her father. It's probably the most beautiful or emotionally vivid moment probably in my life, one of them. People talk about their kids being born, and I watched our kids be born, and that was pretty life-changing. That moment, when those doors opened, and there was Carrie with her dad, and And that was pretty overwhelming. Carrie was getting ready to commit herself to me, and I was committing myself to her, that we were going to walk through life together. Heart in heart, hand in hand, whatever came, better or worse, we were going to be in life together. But before we could walk through life together, there was about 50 feet of carpet that she had to cover to get from there to here. And up to that point, the choice was still hers. We were going to walk, when we left the church that day, we left to walk through life together. But to get from where we were to walking together, she had to start walking towards me. She had to come down the aisle. She had to make that choice step by step. Now, I'm just hoping, I'm trusting it wasn't a super difficult choice to make every step of the way. We weren't playing Runaway Bride or anything, you know, where she was trying. But she had to walk towards me. And isn't that how it is with our relationship with God? We want to walk with Him, but before we can walk with Him, we have to start walking towards Him. We have to put one foot in front of the other spiritually, and we have to get to where He is, because God doesn't move. He doesn't change. And so we have to, you say, but Pastor, I thought God came to us. He does. But it's amazing, and it's only grace that can do this, that actually we are walking to God, but it is because He is drawing us to Himself. So He's even enabling us to take that step towards Him. But we have to walk towards Him first before we can walk with Him. Now, how is this done? Don't we all want to be walking with God? Yes, I hope so. But we don't start out that way. To go from the center of sin and self to an ongoing relationship with God, which is the goal, the ongoing relationship with God, there must be a point of change. There must be a point of turning. You cannot be a Christian and still want to focus on the person that you were. That's not Christian. To be Christian is to want to be like Christ. And that comes as a result of walking towards God. And so there are four simple, quick points that I want to, or things that have to happen in order for us to be able to get from where we naturally are to a point of conversion, a point of walking with God. First of all, to walk towards God, you must realize that everyone, including you, is walking in the wrong direction. Everyone, including you, is walking in the wrong direction. Noah must have realized this, to look around him and see that these men, these people, there's something wrong with how they're acting. There's something wrong with how they're living. They're evil. Their focus is evil. Their desires are evil. Everything about them is evil. And there's something evil going on here. And they're headed in the wrong direction. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you know that at the beginning, first chapter or two of that book, this is the realization that Christian comes to, isn't it? When the evangelist is there and warning them of the destruction that is to come to that city, what does he do? He realizes that he must flee the wrath to come. He must get out of there because these people are headed in the wrong direction. And so he flees the city of destruction. If you know anything about the salmon, you know, what does a salmon do when it's time to lay its eggs? It swims back upstream, doesn't it? So long, life has just been pushing it in one direction, but all of a sudden something clicks with it that says, this is not where I'm supposed to be, and so he starts to swim back upstream, jumping and leaping through the water and up waterfalls and to get back to where he's supposed to be. We have to come to a point in our life where we say, I'm headed in the wrong direction. Everyone around me is headed in the wrong direction. We're going this way. That's not the way we're supposed to be going. So first of all, realize that you're going in the wrong direction. Secondly, to walk towards God, you must decide to pursue what is right and true, regardless of what you used to think or what it could cost you. If you are going to be a Christian, if you are going to walk with God, first you have to walk towards Him. And to walk towards Him, not only do you realize you're headed in the wrong direction, but then you decide, I am going to pursue what is right and what is true. Now, this in and of itself does not make you a Christian. But at some point, you have to decide, whatever the truth is, that is what I want to pursue. We saw the video here one time of Lee Strobel and his case for Christ. and how he had studied, because he thought that if he studied enough, he would be able to disprove Christianity. But as he began to study and the facts began to line up more and more, he realized, I'm going to have to pursue the truth of this to whatever end it may take me. And he became a Christian. You have to reach that point where you say, whatever else may happen, whatever else it may cost me, I'm going to pursue what is right. Noah had to do this. He could not be a righteous man without deciding wholeheartedly to go after what was right. So when God gave him the directions to build, he built. When God gave him the directions to put the animals in the ark, he did it. Why? Because you must decide that whatever it may cost me, and it may cost you something, I am going to pursue what is right. We understand in the original Methodist tradition that you didn't even have to necessarily be a Christian in order to attend their meetings, or maybe even to participate in what they were doing. You simply had to have a desire to renounce what you knew was wrong and to pursue whatever God showed you to be right. And the reason we can say that is because we have full confidence, don't we, that if you will pursue what is right, you will end up at the cross every time. Because that is where all truth is from. So first of all, you must realize you're going in the wrong direction. Secondly, you must decide to pursue what is right. Thirdly, to walk towards God, you must learn what He is all about. You cannot pursue that which you don't commit to learn. You cannot walk towards God if you don't decide, you know what, I'm going to figure out what God's really all about. We were on vacation, we were driving, we went to Pennsylvania, stopped and saw my parents, we went on to New York and saw Carrie's grandparents, and left from New York, came back through Cleveland, spent the night in Cleveland, and came home. We did a lot of driving. We mostly knew where we were going, but sometimes we needed directions. Now, if you're driving and you get directions, whether you get them off the internet or you get them off of a map, Carrie's grandfather's turning 80 years old this month, and while I was at his house, I set him up an email account. He had the internet at his house, and he had been trying to use it, and he had an older computer that had a lot of old programs and stuff on it, so I worked on it while I was there, and I set him up an internet account, an email account, and he was working on it. We were showing him different things, and Carrie took her grandfather, her 80-year-old grandfather, to MapQuest. I said, Grandpa, you're going to love this. Just look at this. You just punch it in right here. You know, we won't mess with a GPS with him. That might just push him over the edge, but if you just go to MapQuest, you just type in where you want, and then it'll just right there. It gives you what you want to know. He thought that was pretty neat. Well, you go to MapQuest, or you go to your GPS, or you go to your Atlas. They still sell those in the store, by the way. Although we bought one, and it was like this tiny little thing you could hardly read, because I don't think they expect people to actually use them anymore. And so we returned it. But whatever you have for directions, it would do you no good, would it? To say, I'm going to go on a trip, and here's my directions. Now let's put those away, and let's hit the road, because we don't need them. Why? You study, you learn them, you want to know what exit to get off of. You want to know how many miles to go. Now, we admit it, you know, some of us guys, we like to see how many miles we have to go. We don't necessarily need to know how many miles we have to go. I'm sorry, fellas, I can't defend you in that category. When we're driving, you know, Carrie has the directions, I'm like, how many miles does it say to go? 6.8, okay, and I'm watching 6.8 miles. And if the street's not right there, then I feel a little lost. But, you know, we don't do any good if we don't study the directions. At some point, you have to study. If I'm going to walk towards God, I need to know Him. I need to get to know Him. Finally, to walk towards God, you must turn to follow Him. You must turn to follow Him. This is conversion. We've said before, conversion is the great turning point. To convert, to change, to look this way instead of that way. At Vacation Bible School, we did this relay race with the teenagers where you had to run backwards. We held on to the other person's shoulders, and one of them ran forwards, and then the person that was holding onto their shoulders was running backwards. I think Zach and I did this together. Let me just tell you, you don't run nearly as quickly backwards as you do forwards. When was the last time you watched a sporting event and someone hits the ball and they take off for first base and they turn around and run backwards because it's quicker? Well, they don't do that. Why not? Because you always move faster when you're headed towards your object. If you're going to walk towards God, yeah, at some point, you may be living in sin, you haven't converted, and at some point you're just sort of backing away from that and getting closer to God. But at some point, friends, you have to actually turn and look Him in the eye. You have to turn away from that and turn to Him. This is the converting point. You start to get close to Him, perhaps by backing up, but at some point you have to turn and pursue Him. You can't walk with Him without walking towards Him. You can't walk towards Him while you're facing in the wrong direction. And I would say this about any person that you want to witness to or that you want to talk to about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, not everyone is facing in the right direction. And a lot of people will start backing up before they turn around, and that's okay. But of course, we realize that they're going to have to turn at some point. But don't worry about forcing the turn on them. So often we're like, well, we need to pray. We need to be saved. We need to come down to the altar. We need to get converted. That's true. You need to be converted. But if we will realize that people will start walking towards God, it is not us that does the converting anyway. So let's leave that up to Him and just help people walk towards Him. Encourage them. That is what it is all about. That's what it's about for you. That's what it is about for all of us. And so this is the first of about four experiences that you need to have in the process of transformation. The first is conversion. Everyone who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them. That what? That will diligently go after Him or seek Him or serve Him or pursue Him, walking towards Him. If you're going to come to Him, you must believe that. Yes, we care about what happens after that, about walking towards Him or walking with Him. We care about that, and we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. But first we must settle it that we will turn from the old and walk towards Him in full faith, as Noah did, the man who walked with God. We're going to close this morning by singing a song right there in your hymnal. It's listed in your bulletin. I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope this is your prayer this morning. I hope this is what you want. Because that's what we're talking about, is walking with the Lord. Let this just be our declaration this morning. Let this be our statement of belief that we have decided to follow Jesus. Page 351, let's stand together and sing this. If you've never reached this point in your life, you can. It's open to anyone. And if you haven't, you need to consider that this morning. Let's sing this song together.